This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hi everyone, welcome back to TVI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean, UK based.
UK based and now Melbourne currently based. Carl Donnelly.
Very late at night. In
very Melbourne. Late for you. It's, what is it, 10 past 12 at night? Or early morning, depending on how you think about it. It's night, it's still night, isn't it?
It's not, night, it's isn't definitely it? Night. The clocks are wrong.
When it's people go, it's 2 a.m., 2 in the morning. You're like, 2 in the morning? It's night, mate. It's night time.
Exactly.
It's confusing us.
Should be p.m.
Yes, it should. It should be p.m. till, I'd say, 4 in the morning.
10 a.m. Yeah. Depends anyway. If you're an alky.
Exactly. Welcome back. This is a very fun episode. We caught up with Welsh, now currently Melbourne-based, Lloyd Langford. Very funny stand-up. It's been around for years. I feel like I think when I started, Lloyd had just been sort of just starting. So he's been around forever, and he's a very funny man. And we have a chat about all sorts and
films, balls.
Obviously some pedos, as per usual. But it's almost like we can't help ourselves.
Once you talk about school, though, I don't know, it's a significant thing.
It's a significant part of the education system. You can't talk about one without
the curriculum.
The other. I know. Anyway, but it's a good, fun chat, and I think you'll enjoy it. Thanks to all our patrons, patreon.com/wearetvi. There's a nice catch-up.
Videos on Patreon.
Night. That was us just having a catch-up.
Nice catch-up.
We'll do another one or two this week.
I don't know why I talked over you, sorry.
It's fine. It's our new thing. We're going to just talk over each other.
Both said the same thing different ways, over each other.
It's like a remix. Oh, that's it. That's all the admin, mate. Why don't you
Thanks
all just...
for listening, everybody.
Exactly. Listen, enjoy.
The videos on Patreon.
Yeah. All right, boy.
If you want, you see it. Bye.
Die of AIDS in an alleyway. I'm alright, bro. 3, 2, 1, and he bust a fucking vape. Just like
I always do that just before anything. I don't know why. Like,
is it because you've got an addictive personality?
And, I'm a mad crackhead.
Exactly. And welcome back to TVI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean here. Hi.
And guest. First time guest, Welsh man, Australian dweller, Lloyd Langford. Hey, Lloyd.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How the hell are you? It's sort of weird that now, I mean, we're both in the same country now, but you've been here, you've been stuck here for how long?
I arrived maybe end of February, like last year.
Yes.
So what's that, 12 months, 13 months?
Yeah. And we've met up a few times since I've been in the country. We've been discussing the pros of here compared to the UK currently.
Being in an unlocked Melbourne with gigs, some sea.
Just, do you know what part of it is?
Football stadiums.
I don't know, you know, I don't think London is as unfriendly as people make out. People from outside of London think London is like no one talks to each other, and actually they do. You just, it's sort of, you know, it's a different vibe to other places, but you do notice there is still a drop off. Like where my in-laws are here in Hampton, in Melbourne, like I just went to get a coffee this morning, and on my life I think every person I walked past said good morning, like 100%
It's a little bit. We need a medium on that, don't we? Like every other, you know what I mean?
I mean, yeah.
Every
don't get me wrong.
Other person, at least.
By the last one, I was like, "Fuck off!"
Your face muscles aching from just faking it.
Something. Yeah, something hi. I'm really, enjoying at the moment in Melbourne, which they don't do anywhere else I've been, is hard rubbish.
Hard rubbish?
So twice a year, you're allowed to just put any shit you don't want on the pavement.
I've heard about it. I've heard of this, but it sounded fucking mental, so I didn't actually ask any further questions. So it's basically like a garage sale, but you're allowed to just put it out.
Garage sale.
Yeah, why have I spoken speaking American? I've literally left the country for a few weeks, and I've just lost out of my ability to speak. So what, you can put anything?
Yeah, and the idea is that the council will come and take it away on a special idea.
So not litter as in like old stuff that you don't want. Like you can't throw your old like general waste
massive
out.
Pile of Mars bar wrappers.
Well, Julian, we have bins here.
Yeah, there are many bins, yeah.
But
no, we still have the bin. Did I not tell you, Julian? You have to save your rubbish up for twice a year.
Oh.
Your garden is literally basically a dump. And then you put it out.
That's what I thought. I just throw shit out a window.
Like old furniture and junk you don't want anymore. And the council is supposed to take it away. But what actually happens is teams of people, just everyday people,
there's a massive boot fair the next day, coincidentally.
They scour. There was a guy slowly driving up and down our street the other day, and I was like, oh, he's definitely some kind of pedo weirdo. And I actually took his number plate down.
Yeah.
And then I realized he was
hook up later.
He was looking for hard rubbish.
Asked him to join your WhatsApp group.
We've got a group for you, mate.
got a dark web forum that you're fucking mate.
On Discord.
So when is the hard rubbish day?
They give you like a couple of weeks heads up.
Oh right, okay.
People are already like scouring like human dung beetles.
Yeah,
they're just foraging through all of the junk.
There is something to be said for, I did a thing, a period where I was putting stuff on Instagram. There's a road near me in Harlesden that sort of goes into Kensal Green, and it's notorious for really good, people just put, like, it's almost like a culture there. They put this, like, you got something you want to get rid of, like a sort of chest of drawers, put it out front, someone will have it. And it's, but it's always nice stuff because it's nice sort of sort of upper middle class housing. So
mooch around, mate.
For a period, I would take a photo of what was on the street, and then
get a free bedside lamp or something.
The tip that I was told is that if you want to get rid of junk like that outside your house, then you put it outside your house, but you put a price on it.
No,
Just post it through the letterbox. The cash.
No, you just put 50 quid on a chest of drawers.
Yeah.
Someone walking past will go, oh, I'm going to nick that and just take it.
Yeah, so the moment they think they're getting a deal.
Yeah, that's a good idea, like an old fridge or something.
there is some things like that. Australian things that just sort of make sense, but then when somebody tells it to you, you're like, it is weird. Like just having it's basically like the purge for your house, isn't it? You just gotta stick every bit of shit outside.
Every bit of furniture from the hotel room.
And then nutters in vans drive around sort of looking for it.
You are allowed to put old fridges outside, but you have to have the doors taken off them because there was a spate.
Oh, that's easy to do.
In the 80s or 90s where...
Just get a bomb. You just got to get some dynamite and that's easy. Roll a hand grenade in there.
What was the spate of what in the 90s?
Putting people of children in climbing inside and getting stuck.
Oh,
and it falling over.
Yeah, so you have to have the doors off if you
just
put
a big
on
ice block up. Just falls out.
Hand solo just come out. What? Were they all right? Is there air holes? I don't know. Did they?
I think you can. I think you can easily perish. Yeah.
Just like all my vegetables. One dies first, the apple or the kid. But they're airtight, aren't they, fridges? I guess. I mean, they've got the suction things.
I presume they're meant to be, to keep stuff fresh in it.
And it's dark.
They had holes that the cold would get out, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
Indiana Jones in the very, very bad fourth Indiana Jones film, he survives a nuclear bomb blast by climbing into a fridge.
That film is one of the strangest cinematic experiences I've ever had. Because, you know, I don't think it's just nostalgia. I actually think the Indiana Jones films hold up really well. They're not, you watch them now, they're like over Christmas, they're still really good. They're really fun. They're entertaining. You know, I don't think they've aged badly. But when you watch that fourth one, it's almost like it was made by somebody who hadn't seen the other three. They just got told about, he wears a hat. He wears a hat and he sort of just like goes and gets some old shit. And like, so that scene with Shia LaBeouf swinging through the trees with the monkeys almost done me in. Like, I was like, I can't believe this has made the final edit. It's fucking,
I never
brutal.
Saw it, I don't think.
Oh, mate, you've lucked out. It's one of them things where if I could go back and not watch it and just allow that trilogy to stay as is.
It ruins the whole lot, doesn't it? Because you remember it by that shit one.
Sort of, yeah. And I'm not somebody who
The first
who really,
ones were great, weren't they?
They're so good. But I'm not somebody who thinks like, I just leave everything. Like, some hardcore like Star Wars fans are like, they sort of won't accept anything that's been made since the first three. But, you know, if you look back, the first three aren't that great, really.
The time they were, though.
Yeah. At the time, but I don't actually know. I don't.
I was six.
Everything's fucking good.
My quality control was wanting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You were climbing into fridges and
I really liked the Romance in the Stone film. That was good at the time, wasn't it?
Yes, they were. I still remember. Yeah, I still remember the soundtrack. Steve Winwood, Higher Love, I think, is on the Romance in the Stone soundtrack. Yeah, it's a great song.
You can definitely tell that they're fucking, they've got 100%. Great chemistry.
Was it Sybil Shepherd? No,
Kathleen Turner. And
that's it, Kathleen Turner. That smoke show. That's straight 10.
I love that you leant into the mic there just to make that extra creepy, mate. I've recently had a I was going to overblow that there, but I've watched a few Michael Douglas classics recently. I forget how much I liked Michael Douglas and how much
it's
I do
so
like
good.
Him. He is like, I watched Wall Street for the first time in ages, and fuck me, he's so good in it. Like, he's horrible, disgusting, but excellent at the same time. And you can tell he's sort of a bit of a cunt in real life, just from the film. You know, when somebody's an actor, but you're like, I also know you've mined some truth.
Yeah, yeah, they
here.
Can't tap into that character without being
I
a cunt.
I love it.
Daryl Hannah's performance in that film is so eggy. Like,
but she's she's
what was she in Wall Street?
She plays the sort of like is she an art gallery sort of curator or something? She's at a party and she meets Tom Cruise, Charlie Sheen, sorry. And isn't she going out with somebody else at the time, and then she ends up with him? And she sort of just plays this really sort of airy, fairy blonde in it, doesn't she?
It was like she was in it, cut in from a different film.
That Jar Jar.
She was a fish from the waist down still.
It's one of those performances where straight afterwards I'm straight on IMDb to go, all right, was she like poking the director or is she in this film?
She is not
same surname as the casting director. Daryl Hannah's dad, casting director in the credits.
Not to get all Julian over Kathleen Turner, but Daryl Hannah, she was such a pretty lady. Like, she was, you know, she was gorgeous. It was like, you know, Splash did things to me when I was a kid, man.
Yeah. She's absolutely brilliant if she's playing.
Made me want her to be all fish, not just half. She's ruined by the human bit.
She's great if she's playing like a fish woman or like a android in Blade Runner, but if she has to play an actual person, she's out of depth.
She needs to be at least half something else just to take the edge off.
Half ox or something.
Charlie Sheen is another one who, you know, he's a real, like, it's a real lottery with Charlie Sheen as to what you're going to get in a film, isn't it? Like, you can watch, you can, like, he's good in Wall Street. I think he plays that slightly naive, wannabe rich boy really well. But then, and he's really funny in like Hot Shots. But then, you know what I mean? He's also like, did you ever see any of them serious like action films he did in the sort of mid-90s? Like, he was like in The Rookie and stuff like that. And it's just, he just has not got that.
I was more familiar with Emilio Estevez, his brother in the 80s, like Breakfast Club. He was kind of a bit, was he a bit bigger at the time?
I think so. I think initially.
Like Breakfast Club was a good film, wasn't it?
It's a great film.
Young Guns, was he there?
Young Guns was my favourite. That had a lot of them, didn't it?
Did it?
It had Emilio Estevez, Charlie Sheen.
Oh, Young Guns.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
I was thinking of Top Gun.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland.
All of, you know,
Emilio Estevez was Billy the Kid, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's brilliant as Billy the Kid.
Went out the window. It was such a good film.
I watched it recently. I watched it about 3 months ago, and that's another one that holds up to.
It comes out the window in the box and just jumps out and starts firing, reminding me of myself.
Whereas
that's the sort of thing I do in my dreams.
What, escape out of people's windows?
And panicky. Wake up and I've wet the bed.
I was about to say something about, oh yeah, Charlie Sheen though, in that film, actually, out of, he tries to play it a bit too seriously in Young Guns, and he sort of is one of the weaker of the pack, I think. Terrence Stamp's very good in it though, isn't he, as a sort of weird old English man.
Oh yeah, he's English guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's had an interesting career. Why are we talking just about films? We haven't talked
about this. My sister wrote to Terrence Stamp and got a reply.
She wrote to him?
Yeah.
For what purpose?
I don't know. Just really liked him.
What? So it's like a fan letter?
I don't know exactly. She just... I don't know. I weren't really listening.
I was in the pub once with Matt Ford.
Yeah.
And we had a few beers and he was talking about Alan Ford. He's like a gangster actor. He's in Snatch. And
yeah. He looks just like my dad.
No,
weirdly.
The old geezer with the white hair and the glasses.
Yeah.
Brick top Tony.
Oh, yeah.
We'd had a few beers and I just said to Fordy, I'll just email his agent and just ask him if he wants
and
to come out for a beer.
Book him for a drink in the pub.
He emailed his agent and said, oh, like, we're two fans of his and, you know, can we take him out for dinner or something? Just what? Like drunkenly forgot about it. And then his agent got back in touch and was like, yeah, he'll come out for dinner with you guys if you want.
What?
But he's vegan.
Can
so...
he pay?
He's vegan.
Yeah, so he's vegan, right? And he replied to the message and said, when can we go out for dinner? And I think I was in Australia.
I'm starving. I've been waiting for the email for 4 years since Snatch. Since the check cleared from Snatch.
I was in Australia, Fordy was in the UK. We were trying to organise it. And then one day, Fordy was just in a pub in Hampstead and Alan Ford came up to him and tapped him on the shoulder and was like, oh, cunt, when are you taking me out for dinner?
No.
Have you mugged me off because I'm a vegan? And then we actually did take him out for a meal. It was fucking brilliant.
This is unbelievable.
That's fucking nuts.
It was so good.
What's he like?
Like
as a
we
person?
Spent ages. Really funny.
Greedy.
Really, really smart.
Really quick eater.
He was telling us stories from his life and from the films and stuff. And then we finished the meal. I was drunk. And he was like, where are we going next? I was like, wait. We went to the pub and stuff. It was so cool.
Yeah, it's fast. Yeah.
What, it wasn't the same night you emailed? It wasn't like that. It didn't all happen in one night?
No. Oh. We had to set
that
it up.
That would have been... I mean, it's crazy. Yeah.
It? If I send the email and
he
gets,
you look around, he's behind you.
And he's just feeling a bit peckish.
Then he walks in the pub. That's fucking crazy. That's amazing.
I did not know he was a vegan. Should we try and
do that?
Should we email him, see if he wants to come on the podcast?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how rude will it be if he says no? This is something he could do from his own house, but he just went out for dinner with fucking Lloyd and Fordy.
Just tell him we're sending him some fucking a little takeaway, I'm saying.
Get him a delivery. But yeah, I don't think I've ever messaged a celebrity. Do you know what I mean? I know that some people when they were kids were parts of fan clubs and stuff. I never did any of that shit. What are you doing, Julian? You're just playing with something.
Just being OCD. I don't know. This is past my bedtime.
It is late, isn't it?
It's quite nice doing it late. I've never done it this late before.
Just for 8 listeners. 8 p.m. It's, not 11, really it's 11.25 p.m. UK time. British 10.25 time. Melbourne time for me and Lloyd. Nice. But you're late. You go to bed late, don't you?
I haven't lately because I've been taking the kids to school. So, Ren, so I'm up at like...
Are they back in real life school now?
Yeah.
I see you've had to hang up your teaching boots.
I know, yeah.
Julian was a homeschooler for a while.
Let them get some education.
Julian was destroying his children's future for a while.
I quite enjoyed it, though. I did find it.
Were you missing it? Because, yeah, you were loving it, mate.
Well, I can still study. I've actually been looking into loads of courses to do and things. So, yeah, like law and stuff I've been looking into.
I still don't think that's going to happen.
when you pick the kids up from the school, are there other parents about? Do you have to
distance them? No, it's just a derelict school in... burnt out school has not been operating since the 70s.
What's the distance you have to stay apart and wear masks? It just looks to me normal.
It's different because you drop them at the gate and they go in. So you don't. I used to go in and walk her to the classroom.
Really?
And the other parents just naturally stay away from you.
Yeah, anyway. The other parents naturally just
they've always
left them
stayed
outside
away
the gate
from
like
me.
Normal parents. You were the only one walking them into the classroom, just sitting down for a bit, having a look around.
What are learning you? Some stuff.
I thought historically you always just drop them at the school gates, don't you? I don't remember any. When I was growing up, parents were coming past the gate, man. They would have got
well, not when
up.
They're like, Ren's only just like, well, she's 8 in August, so. I mean, lockdown. So she was like 5, 6. That age, you don't just drop them at the gate, I guess.
Drop them at the nearest tube station, mate. Let them be.
You just drop them at the bus stop.
I remember walking to school on my own. Me and my mates would walk to school from like the age of like 7. It's mad. I mean, it was the 80s, so, you know.
Yeah, I never.
Pedophilia was rife. but you just had to run the gauntlet. No, but it was... That was, I'm sure, I don't know if that was just my, you know, I lived about maybe 800 metres in total from my primary school. So it's probably just
that's a long way to walk for a 7-year-old on their own.
I mean, I think my parents were just very laissez-faire about my safety.
Did you ever get approached by an adult?
Not
as
that
a
I
kid.
Know of. I can't.
What about molested? Not really.
I should have probably warned Lloyd about how every conversation ends in the same location.
Right now we're warming, not really.
I did the acting, creeped on a couple of actors. Now we're on the pedo chat. No, what
I got approached by a. I mean, it's happened loads of times, but as a really young kid, I got approached by a guy offering to fix my bike, and then my mum called from the balcony when I lived in Plumstead.
Was there anything wrong with your bike?
I was just, don't know what I was doing with it, but he jumped over a wall and started looking down. And then my mum and my neighbour on the balcony ups in the estate, and she just, Julian, come up here. I was like, what? He's just helping with the bike.
No.
And when, I don't know why I didn't speak like that, but he was definitely a pedo.
I went to high school. I was one of the few people in the high school that didn't go to the junior school.
Right.
And we had a religious education lesson, and all of the kids in my class were like waxing lyrical about this teacher they had in junior school. They used to like buy them presents.
Oh, God.
And they used to go around his house and he'd give them massages and stuff.
Oh.
And
Did if he they do had anything like a, weird apart from like
if they had like a sports
standard
injury
English lesson in it?
And because I didn't know who this person was, I said, "Ah, oh, this guy's clearly a paedophile."
Yeah,
and there was like absolute uproar in the class, and people got really angry and started like shouting at me and saying, "Oh, you've got an awful mind and all this kind of stuff." And the teacher made me apologize.
I'm the one massaging kids in my front room, mate.
you had to apologize, right?
I had to apologize to the class because I was like, "Oh, obviously, I never met this guy. You know, I'm sorry that I jumped to conclusions about him." And then, obviously, a few years later, it's all over the local newspaper that he was indeed a wrong'un.
I hope you.
And you can't go and take
your
apology.
Stood up in
back.
That class again and went, "Right, you fucking pieces of shit." I retract.
I'd actually I'd graduated from the school by this point, but I went back to the RE teacher.
kick the door in when he's doing a class. Like, I told you he was a pedo, mate. We had a teacher get accused of multiple sort of, and again, it was like not under. This isn't a defence or anything, but he wasn't. You know. He wasn't.
But they were fit.
No. What I'm saying is it wasn't like full on, like he wasn't actually assaulting people. He was a fan of a sort of a massage of a, yeah, it was all.
I mean,
just,
that's bad.
It's bad shit, but he wasn't literally physically. What I'm saying is he wasn't bumming anyone. I know it's not.
I don't know why you're in his corner, man.
No, I'm not in his corner.
I don't know why you're repping.
I'm not, but no, but this is the story is right. So there was always everyone knew that don't let him go near, like on school trips. Don't let him rub sunscreen on your legs. You know,
don't let him work in the school. How about that?
No, but we were kids. I mean, when there was that.
Don't let him work anywhere near any children.
But again, this was like the early 90s, whatever. This was when the kids just had their rules, and the kids had the rumors, and we were like, right. No one go in an office with Mr. Graham, right? That was the thing. So it was almost like there's no point telling the grown-ups they ain't going to do nothing about it. It was us and them. And but then sort of probably, I think we might have just left the school. We might have been in sixth form or something when it all came out. Like there was loads of allegations. All of a sudden it was like this sort of domino effect. And then it was bad. He ended up topping himself. But then I've got mates who still to this day defend him and say like, no, he never did anything that wrong. Like, it was all just kids who had a bit of a.
That people see the best in it, but it's naive, isn't it? I mean, he shouldn't have.
And he also apparently had historical allegations from the school previous before he came to our school. So I think, you know, I'm not a fan of the phrase "there's no smoke without fire," but when there's multiple fires, you've left a wake of fire. I reckon
there's
definitely been
a spark.
There's no smoke without fire, but this guy vapes a lot.
No smoke without fire as I blow smoke into the camera.
I'll tell you what I will say. Have you got any mates who went to like private school or boarding school? Like,
I mean,
back in the day, it is chatting to like friends like Jimmy McGee and stuff. They like, the stories you hear from those posh schools is next level.
Almost sounds worse than like a crap like council estate school.
Well, yeah, because I think we sort of at least got we're allowed to sort of. I think the bullying is way worse in boarding schools. And again, this is why they all turn out to be fucking sociopaths who run the country because they've basically been battered
emotionally. Like tough and like,
it's like the Hunger Games.
It is. I've heard stories that have made me sort of so sad for like little posh people.
I know.
Really, as somebody who was grew up working class, I shouldn't have any sympathy.
I mean, childhood is difficult, isn't it, for any class, I guess. It's just different flavors of different things, different elements. I guess.
Got that from your time of teaching last year.
I mean, it's really tough for the kids I'm teaching. Because they're not learning anything and it has its own connotations.
Anyway, talk us through what's the latest rules in the UK, Julian, and we can make you feel jealous of our situation here.
Well, we can't go to the beach and swim with dolphins like you lot. We can't go shark fishing at noon. bungee jumping.
What was, because Lloyd, what was lockdown like? That the Melbourne lockdown, from chatting to my family and friends here during that, it did sound like it was stricter than the UK. Problem in the UK is we had one during winter when it was dark and cold and shit. Whereas here it wasn't like, you had, it was a Melbourne winter, so it wasn't fucking -5 every day, you know what I mean? But like, what, like having the curfew and stuff sounded like quite extreme. So what was that saying?
Yeah, it was, I mean, I think someone, I was chatting to a comic the other day that was like, it was 111 days.
Yeah.
And at the most intense, you were only allowed out of the house for 1 hour a day. Everything was closed. The actual cafes were open for takeaway.
Right.
But you weren't allowed to eat
to on drink the street. It. You weren't allowed to eat it or drink it. You had to take it and put it in the bin. With rubber gloves on.
So if you got like a takeaway coffee and then went to a park and sat on a bench, you were breaking the arrested. Law.
But were the police quite were they on it, or is it one of them things where, like, you know, in the UK they sort of say they're on it, but I've only heard one or two stories where the police have actually approached people in parks sitting on benches and been like, you know, you're
they
not allowed to do
me,
this.
And
oh, yeah, they
I
did.
Was out with Rob Collins on the Heath. Yeah, it went for a phase in lockdown one when they were clearing people, all that there was like...
Oh, really?
Like unmarked cars driving across the Heath. Like, obviously it's a police car.
A really like lost rally driver.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That Uber driver's sat now ain't working. He's just fucking panicked.
Straight across through the public park. But
I've been in Ubers where the driver would have done that if their sat nav told them to, mate. Do you know, have you ever had that? I once was at Heathrow Airport, got an Uber, waiting for my Uber, and I watched him trying to work out how to pull into like the pickup zone. I was watching him on the map, missed the turning like 5 times in a row, man. Just could not work it out. But so yeah, so were the police sort of knocking around here? Because I do, one thing I will say about, and I don't know if this is the rest of Australia, but I think Melbourne in particular, there is a lot of police on public transport, you know, sort of, I'm getting a train in and out of town most days here. There's always like at least one little group of police will sort of pop on and off the train while I'm heading into town, which you don't really see that in the UK. You never see police on the tube or anything like. I feel like here
not really.
The police are
it's
a bit...
not common, is it?
No. Or you get British Transport Police, which are like fucking substitute teachers, isn't it? You feel like you can tell them to fuck off and they'd be like, actually, yeah, sorry. Sorry for taking
sorry
up your time.
Sorry to bother you. Just get in their face.
But yeah, here, yeah, it feels like the police are a bit more on it. What's happened to Julian's? Julian's just... had his electricity cut off. Hasn't paid the bill. What happened? Your light just go off.
This is all right, actually, isn't it? Yeah, the light.
It's all right if you're doing a fucking ghost watch. What are you talking about?
It's like Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, I know it is now, isn't it?
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Julian's always got some other admin going on in his house whenever we record. It's like a prank show where we get a guest on and sort of just see how much we can distract them while chatting to them.
Sorry.
Julian just fiddles with stuff. But yeah, so it was basically a proper harsh lockdown. But then when did things start opening?
We sort of complied with it as well. I remember there was one night where there was like a really heated argument between two of our neighbours sort of in the street behind.
Yeah,
and the woman was doing a lot of screaming, and we were like, "Oh, we should go and like check up on her and stuff." But it was like beyond the curfew,
right? What time was the curfew?
I think it was 8 o'clock.
Oh, fucking hell, that's pretty hardcore, isn't it? Like, I imagine, yeah. And was there many people that were not complying? Because that's one thing I heard from chatting to someone is that the compliance rate in Australia is really high. They said like it's in the 80s. It's like New Zealand. Like people actually were like, right, let's stick to the rules, get this done, and then we can get on with our lives. Whereas that's one of the problems in the UK, apparently, is compliance rates are in like the 40s, like in percentile.
Sweden was like that, weren't they? They didn't have any kind of law or anything, but people just had common sense and just kind of locked down themselves.
Yeah. It's a weird one, isn't it? It's like, I do think the
England
UK
have
has
got
a,
that kind of fuck off kind of attitude, I guess.
Absolutely. Like, which is, I think, sometimes quite refreshing. Sometimes it's absolutely frustrating. But
the compliance here was really high. And then obviously you had like isolated incidents of anti-maskers like filming themselves, you know, walking around like a hardware store and sort of shouting at the staff and stuff.
Such heroes.
Which is just
having a go at the poor staff.
I know, as if they're like fucking, you know, the government or something.
I know.
Go on. It felt like those kind of people were very much in the minority, and I think in the UK I think all of those fucking turnips have banded together and have formed some sort of small army of fuckwittery.
Well, online they can link up and can't they, and organise and recruit and stuff.
They do have the internet in Australia though. Then people do also have those capabilities.
Bins on the internet.
Oh yeah.
Although the actual internet speeds here are atrocious, so it's probably really harder.
I was really confident in my theory for about half a second.
Did you see the massive anti-mask, anti-lockdown protest in London yesterday?
I didn't know.
It was.
I saw footage of a comedian who I will not name.
I think I know who you're talking about. There.
We'll name them on our Patreon.
I actually think they've been on the podcast, Julian. But we'll talk off air.
Filming themselves walking through Parliament Square. Repeatedly sort of half shouting, freedom, this is freedom. It's making me proud to be British. Look, I'm free.
Well, it's a funny one. Like,
who was that?
They're just wandering about on some grass.
After. It's a weird...
It's not patrons.
It was thousands and thousands of people though. It's obviously caught a bit of a wave. I think it's just frustration. It's gone on ages, and I think people are just basically it's managed to capture people that were always sort of anti, you know, it's basically captured conspiracy theorists who think it's all bollocks, people who are a bit sort of libertarian and just think no, we should be allowed to do what we want, and it's captured it. Now it's got to a point now it's gone on long enough that it's caught all those groups of people, and they've sort of banded together. But I saw some very dumb takes on it on Twitter. Like, and I saw someone having a go at the police for like just sort of shepherding, you know, doing that thing where they sort of are along the sides and letting them march and going off. Because last week, I don't know, did you hear about the sort of the vigil in Clapham Common where they sort of got a bit heavy-handed? Yeah. People were like, well, what? I suppose if they were, you know, having a vigil for a dead woman, then the police would get heavy-handed. So hang on. The criticism the police got for getting heavy-handed last week might be the reason they're a little bit more softly at this one. Do you know what I mean?
You can't
have a week of shit about being heavy-handed and then expect the police to go, right, let's do that again and have another week of shit online, shall we?
So, I don't know whose tweet it was, but there was a photo of, it could have been just bullshit, but there was the woman who was getting heavy-handed at the vigil was the same woman who was getting heavy-handed the other day, and she's been in about three. Like, she kind of they're all quite
I love a conspiracy like that when it's like
they're all quite good photos.
She gets booked to get beaten up by the police.
But
Julian, are you trying to suggest she's a crisis actor?
Yeah.
I actually did see somebody tweeting about that, but I didn't even sort of click on it. I just went, oh, here we go.
I didn't see who the tweet was from. I can't remember,
when was the other heavy handed? When did she last get beaten up by the police? And now, side question is, who's her agent? Because I could do with some of that sweet crisis actor money, man. I'd show up to any old vigil if they paid me $2,000. I'll get bashed. I'll take a couple of digs from the police. Is there an agency that specialises in it?
Would you do a month in prison for like $10,000?
Currently, probably, yeah.
Might as well.
I guess you did 2 weeks in quarantine in Brisbane.
Yeah, exactly. And paid $10,000. So obviously prison is a slight exaggeration for quarantine. You know, I don't think you can get Uber Eats in prison. and have Foxtel to watch whatever you want to watch. But it's, yeah, I reckon the actual not being able to leave your room, that's not the hard part. It's genuinely, I think, would be the entertainment factor. If prison, yeah, whenever you see like sort of the Daily Mail of a story about prisoners have now got fucking TVs or whatever, it's like, you know, that's fine. I'm fine with that. Let them watch telly, innit? They're going to be locked in that room for years. Give them a PlayStation. That's what I'm pending on crimes. I just realised I've just given a waiver there. If they have murdered like 150 people, then maybe take the PlayStation.
I think the murderers, like the lifers, get like a bit more stuff than someone in there for like a couple of weeks or whatever.
Really?
I think so. It's a bit more
as somebody chill. Who has spent a couple of weeks inside, Julian, what did you get in your cell?
I got a poster of Danny Minogue on the wall that was already there.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Such a weird choice of pinup.
I know. Who else? That was it. Yeah, no. Books. You just borrow off of people.
You accrue things over time. I think yeah. Julian's right. But I'm purely judging this on the Silence of the Lambs film.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's a documentary on the British justice system. That's a great film, actually.
Silence of the Lambs. I've not seen it in so many years, but I always found it quite a hard watch. Do you know some films you feel like it's sort of not something you're just going to go, oh, it's a Saturday, I'm going to whack Silence of the Lambs on. You know what I mean? It's one of them things where it's a commitment to watch that film. It's going to leave you a bit sad and bleak.
I know. Yeah.
It's
intense.
Feel good at the end, isn't it?
Exactly. Something like that you can watch at the end. You'll have a little cry and then go and sort of get on with your life. But yeah, Silence of the Lambs is not like a sort of, it's not a Christmas, or it's not a Boxing Day film, is it?
Nah.
Yeah.
What was Red Dragon like? That was his second one, was it?
Looked shit, so I never saw it.
I think it was.
Did you watch Hannibal? Did you ever see Hannibal?
It's supposed to be good.
I wouldn't use that word, but mainly for the end scene. The end scene is one of the weirdest bits of film I've ever seen. Have you seen it, Lloyd?
I went on a date to that film.
Oh, what sort of date movie is that, mate? That is fucking shit.
You left crying and halfway.
I couldn't watch it. Particularly that scene with Ray Liotta. I think she was putting her hand over my eyes, and I was like, I was very close to fainting.
It's horrific. There's basically for Julian and for any listeners, I mean, I don't need to say spoiler alert. Nobody's not watched Hannibal is now going to go, fucking hell,
babe. I thought
you
were talking about the Netflix series, actually.
Oh, no, not. We're talking about the film. Netflix series, I think it's meant to be all right. The film. Yeah.
What's the scene?
Ray Liotta is a police officer, and at the end he gets captured by Hannibal Lecter, and Hannibal Lecter seats him down on a chair that he's strapped to him and feeds him, cuts the top of his head off, removes it gently, and then feeds him some of his own, a part of his own brain fried.
Yeah, I did see that film.
So yeah, so what I'm saying, it's a perfect first date film. So yeah. Do you know, what was the second Austin Powers film?
Old Member.
Yeah, that was a second date movie I once went on. It's funny. I mean, that shows the level I work at. You're obviously in Hannibal.
I never really did cinema dates, I suppose. I don't remember.
What was your date locations?
I don't know. I don't really like one-on-one, what you mean, like with your girlfriend or like a first date?
Or a first date, like, or a second date,
Can I take you on a date? And then you'd go on a date like that. I don't know. I don't remember ever doing that.
that's exactly what it is. That's what a date is, isn't it? What was your, what do you mean?
I'd end up like being with girls who were like part of the group, or you're the mate, like you get to know them like that.
But you never went out on a date early doors to sort of spend time together in a location. That's what a date is.
What sort of age?
Well, any age from the age of 14 to now.
I suppose that I had kind of a girlfriend from like 14 for a couple of years, which is a long time at that age.
That is actually.
And then again at like 18 for a couple of, like, but I don't know, she got pregnant within about 8 months.
Okay. So your date was at the just at a doctor, a lot of
the
doctors
registry
visits.
Office with her dad.
What's your general date locations, Lloyd? Over historically,
when I was
Airbnb.
When I was that age, yeah, you'd go to the cinema, or maybe you'd go bowling, or Laser Quest. Actually, that's
a weird date location. That's not chasing that's around not a dark warehouse with a laser gun.
Swimming is a creepy first date, isn't it?
Definitely, that would be a rubbish first date. Because also, I think, you know, if it's a first date, I don't think you want to show off any of your body yet. I think you want to wait, hold that.
You want to do some doing push-ups in the changing rooms before you walk out.
Just getting like some makeup to put like a six pack on that then just washes off in the
swimming
pool. But it's yeah. But then obviously once you turn sort of basically 17 or 18, it was just most dates I ever went on were just pubs, and then you just get wankered. That was always like, I always thought that was really fun at one of them dates where you just meet up and in a pub and you just both end up totally shit-faced.
It gets messy.
Yeah, it's wicked. I once went on a date with a girl in a pub in Clapham, and then we got so shit-faced. It was like we met at like 5 p.m. and genuinely there was no like ulterior motives. It was just going to hang a few drinks, get to see how we'd get on. And we just ended up nailing about 5 bottles of wine between the two of us. We ended up in the pond on Clapham Common. It's like both of us shit faces wading around in the water. Like, we were so pissed and soaked that like it just had to end. Like, it was almost that thing of, I was sort of trying to go, oh, should we go back to one? And she was like, no, I think I actually want to go home and just sort of pass out. Dry off and pass out.
Get these tadpoles out of my pocket.
Anyway, any other business before we start wrapping up proceedings? I don't even know what we've talked about. This has been one of the ones where it's really covered a lot of ground. Films, dates, schooling, paedophiles. What a selection. There's any other bit. What's your thoughts on a Julian's water bottle there, Lloyd? Some guests have found it unnervingly large.
I mean, I've got small hands.
It is still too big for a water bottle.
It's a 2.2 litre. So that's your daily water you need.
Right.
You, Lloyd. Not really. Like, everyone.
I thought it was some weird trick of perspective and he had, like, a genuine water cooler bottle there.
It is massive.
I was like, how fucking... How long is his fucking bedroom? Like...
It is. It's dauntingly big.
It's unwieldy.
Yeah. But you can't bring that out of the house, can you? Do you carry it anywhere?
No, it's just for inside. I wouldn't take it out. You do see people at the gym with ones that big.
Right. And then, I mean,
that is just showboating.
It is showboating. When did the gyms open? They must open soon.
I don't know. In a few weeks, I think.
Right. That'll be good. You can get back to there, mate. Get back to your David Lloyd's.
I know, I'm looking forward to it. It's just nice, isn't it?
I mean, are you a gym goer, Lloyd? Because you're in you've got in decent shape. I would say you're in, you know, you
I
look
lost
much
weight.
More svelte, yeah, than when you first came to Australia.
I lost weight during lockdown because...
Do you jog or anything?
I did a lot of cycling and a lot of walking.
That's right. Good.
Did you watch what you eat, or is that totally just it was a
well, and also, yeah, no, we were eating a lot better because we weren't allowed to eat out and everything home-cooked and stuff. So I started making curries and started making stuff and becoming a better cook. And then it just, I don't know, a few people, I was doing a gig in a place called Ballarat and a pensioner just walked up to me on the street and just went, you're nowhere near as fat as you used to be, and then walked off.
That's nice, getting a nice compliment to make your day.
Nowhere
I put a real
near
spring in my step.
Nowhere near as fat. It's still, it's the most backhanded compliment I've ever heard. Oh God!
You're nowhere near as fat.
That's something my mum would say. My mum's got the ability to think she's giving a compliment, and it is just—it's like an arrow to your self-esteem. It's unreal. She said that. She said, "Who was it?" She said that to. Was it Joe Wilkinson? No, Barry Dodds. She once said to Barry Dodds, "My mum's the one time my mum's seen me do comedy. I was on with Barry Dodds, John Robbins, Joe Wilkinson, and she said to Barry Dodds, "Oh, you look much fatter on stage." Wow, that is really going to give him some sleepless nights. She said she did the classic to Joe Wilkinson. It's weird. I thought you were funny. I was like, okay. There you go, mum. Why don't you just rip right through the dressing room there? Take everyone down a peg or two, innit? She does it with me. Every time I've seen my mum in the last, I'd say 3 years, she's told me I've put on weight. Like if she, no. On her trajectory of my weight, there should be a documentary about me when I'm fucking
getting crane lifted from your hat from your bedroom.
Yeah, it's like you'd think that I am sort of 80 stone or something. The way she goes on, she's just got that. It's that sort of old Irish lady thing. You can't just actually say something positive. It has to be given with an undercurrent.
Some parents are like that though, aren't they? They're overly critical about their children. It's almost like they're, I don't know, like your extension of them. It's totally.
Well, she's just like she's got a lot of issues. My dad's the opposite. My dad's never said anything positive or negative. He's literally
he's a mime.
Yeah, basically is. He sort of just sits there and just never sort of offers anything to the conversation. Anyway, on that note about my parents, it's much like we're staying with my in-laws. They're so nice. It's unreal. Like, it's such a difference to like seeing parents that are actually engaged with their families. And
it's nice seeing a family that is like, I don't know. I used to get that go around my mate's house and just want to stay there.
There does come a point sometimes where it's a little bit like, you know, not overbearing, but sometimes you like, all right, as much as I criticize my family for how we were and are, you know, sometimes you're like, I also quite like the independence we were all given to. Yeah, there was never any pressure to go to a family thing. Like, I had mates who, like, one of my mates is Italian, like, or he's Italian family born in London. And literally, I would say in our 20s, that's when you're probably your most sociable. Over 50% of the times you'd be like, right, we're all going out for a beer, you come in. He'd be like, oh, I've got to go to a family dinner. And it was like, fucking, we'll just have dinner before you come out.
People in a restaurant.
Yeah, they just always have family dinners. It's like, I've never in my life, well, not once, I mean 100%, I've never once had to go to a family dinner over a social event.
I know. So, I remember my mum and dad like met again like for about a decade without seeing each other. So I arranged them to meet and have a dinner. It was just like a nightmare from the beginning. They're just arguing straight away. They haven't seen each other in like 10 years.
And you think you're like doing a lovely thing.
And my sister was with my mum in a cab and everyone's getting irate and stressed out from it. Went to the Cutty Sark pub in Greenwich and just kicked off.
Have your family been out here, Lloyd, since in the time you've been coming here?
They were supposed to come out October, November. Shit. Actually, my dad has decided that he doesn't want to get on a plane ever again.
Okay.
So
that's nice.
He's done a lot of scary.
Yeah, he's done a lot of traveling, and I think the last holiday he went on, he got ill and he was like, this is just a ball ache. So I don't know if he will come, but my mum would come on her own. She wants she loves going away and stuff. So I'm hoping she could be able to come over.
They love it. When like what age are they?
He's like 70 and she's like 61.
They're of that they're in the age where they love your mum will love a holiday apart. Like not in a bad, like it's just I know from like my in-laws, if they just like, I remember they, they've had period like she came to London last year without my father-in-law, and she loved it so much. It's like, because when you've been together for however many years,
a long time, and it's 55 years.
Yeah, actually have like a few weeks where you just that you have your own space is incredible.
Breathe.
Yeah, so yeah, she'd have a whale of a time. We should wrap it up and get on with our days and our lives and let Julian go to bed. People can find you. What do you do? You don't do a podcast, do you, Lloyd?
I sometimes do The Froth, which is Rod Gilbert's podcast.
But people can find you online. I mean, I don't actually. I've never checked how many Australian listeners we have, Julian, but you're doing a show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Yes, Jazzed. It's called Jazzed.
That'll be fun. Is it a show you were going to do last year, mostly?
It's like half of that and then half of new stuff I wrote like in lockdown. And
Which venue and time and stuff?
I'm on at the Swiss Club at 7:45 p.m. pretty much every night apart from Mondays, because they don't do Mondays here during the festival.
It's a great thing, actually, that Melbourne Comedy Festival. Just don't do Mondays. That thing of, like, you forget how just having a day off a week from a festival show makes it such a good idea. Like, because
some people were doing that in Edinburgh. When I got there, I was like, I should have done that.
Jimmy McGee never does a Monday.
I do it in Edinburgh as well. It's great. I try to get 2 days off a week, and then they told me I was taking a piss.
Do you know?
I want a 1 day a week show.
Do you know when you know people that haven't? They just go, I don't bother having a day off. I'd rather just do the show. And you're like, are you mental? Doing like 25 nights in a row? It's not healthy.
No.
Like I won't lie. You know, I'm very honoured and happy to be gigging again.
You'll take one in the middle, won't you?
1 day in Edinburgh, I normally take the middle Tuesday off. But even then, that feels unnatural, doing almost 2 weeks until then. But like,
it's funny when you have a day off in Edinburgh and you go back the next day feeling a bit not match fit, even though you've some more gigs.
25 gigs in 10 days.
You're like, oh, a bit rusty. I had yesterday off.
But I do think, like, I've even done that thing already. Like, in the last week, I did loads of gigs. And having not gigged in so many months and just being happy to be doing anything, by the end of the week, I was a bit like, all right, turn it in, mate. A fucking day off, man. Which is just madness. I've got to remind myself I'm lucky to be doing anything. Right, let's wrap it up. Lloyd, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for coming, man.
Watch any other business... Julian, what do we need to say? Thanks to patrons for signing up to get extra bits.
Thanks to all the new patrons.
There's a fun little catch-up we did the other night that's on there now. And we should do a get-together soon. Now we're all settled. And
have a nice Sunday get-together.
Yeah. That's it. Thanks for listening, everyone. This has been TVI. Thanks to Lloyd Langford. Bye.
God bless.
Bye.
You're actually changing the podcast.
I think you're dying of AIDS.